Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
This podcast is brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey. Native Grape Odyssey is an educational project financed by the European Union to promote European wine in Canada, Japan, and Russia. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Warden. My guest today is Sarah Norell, who is the director of assortment purchasing at the Swedish Monopoly. Do you have like a business card that's the size of a football pitch with a title?
No, I do think it's so long.
You know, I have a crane to carry it around with you. They have problems on like aeroplanes.
Honestly, my role is to make sure that all the people in my organization think it's fun to work at Systembolaget. So,
see, we don't often think about that at monopolies. Communist-style purchase, grey people, dark buildings.
It's passionate people. They really like what they are doing, and it's also about the enjoyment of wine, but Systembolaget is also about taking care of the backside of it.
Okay.
So don't drink too much, and we're not driven by selling. We are only driven by doing good service and a great assortment.
So we'll get on to that in terms of your sustainability and organic initiatives. So just give us a bit about your personal background. Were you born into wine?
No, not really. I'm a farmer's daughter, and my mother was a teacher, but I very early on started to work in the hotel restaurant business. So that's where I did my first career.
So when you say early on, how old were you?
I think the first time I was like 16 or something. And high heels, and you know.
So high heels. So you high heels on a farm? That must have been a bit controversial.
No, in the restaurant.
No, what did you have? Was it arable land or did you have cows and things like that?
Yeah, it was both. So it was quite a small farm, but very, very nice to coming back to today and have.
You look like a country woman, I have to say.
You do.
That's not. I hope that's not an objective comment. I'll get crucified. But you do. You look like you're country, kind of country oriented.
Yes.
Okay, so your farmer's daughter, obviously good in school, a bright cookie, yeah?
Yeah,
a little shrug of the shoulders.
Too much on my plate, so I did a lot of things outside school as well.
Go on.
No, but I was... what I thought first was that I was going to be a musician. So I
what
played
kind
the
of music?
It was all kinds of good, but a lot of classics, because I played the flute and played some piano and guitar. But in the end, I ended up in the wine business.
Were you self-taught then?
No, that was more...
Were you a good pupil? Were your parents?
I think I did very well, actually.
Did you?
Until I was like in my teens.
And then why? You went off the rails a bit, did you?
No, then I wanted to do something else.
Okay.
So I went into the hotel restaurant business, and the wine really, really caught me. So I became a sommelier.
What was the attraction though of wine?
I think it's so diverse, and it's not only what it tastes, it's the whole culture, it's the people, and it's being able to fly around the world and to its enjoyment. Yes.
And it's also tough. Obviously, you've got a huge responsibility on your shoulders. So just tell us, why is there a monopoly in your country?
It's of political reasons, alcohol political reasons. About not drinking too much. And obviously, the Systembolaget takes care of having a fantastic assortment, but also limited opening hours. And for example, when you go into our stores, you pick out the wines you would like to have, or the beers, or the spirits. And when you come to cashier, there's a little trolley saying, "Have you changed your mind? Please, if you've changed your mind, you can put the bottles or the packages you don't want any longer and proceed to cashier." Probably that's no other retail in the world would do that.
But why would they do that?
It's because we don't think people should drink too much.
Yeah, and you're not trying to hard sell either.
No, we have no buy three, pay for two or anything.
You never get a job in a British supermarket.
No, I don't think that.
You might be cleaning the bins, maybe.
But I would really have
you
to,
lost
to
two
change
days.
My...
Okay, so
how we do it.
Obviously, I'm a big fan of organics, as you probably know. You have set targets, or you did set targets, very ambitious ones, and within about 4.5 minutes, you hit your target. Can you give us some background on that?
Yeah, but I think it's about Systembolaget and our owners want to do good. We want to be part of moving the trade forward. And obviously, if you're a big player, you have a big responsibility. So we said that 10%, 2020, 10% of everything volume-wise we are selling are to be organic.
And that target was introduced when? That was in...
That's about 8 years ago.
And you fulfilled that target in about 4.5 minutes, didn't you?
No, not really, but already like 2 years ago.
So but how did you feel about that? Did you feel that you'd underappreciated organics or the consumer demand for it? Or?
I think what was the success for that is that we said, no, we want to be a driver behind good organic wines. And at that time, there were good organic wines, but not only, and they were not certified. So if it's not certified, it's hard for us to put organic on the shelf. So I think we drove it a little bit before the consumer, but when the consumer were ready, there were organic products on our shelves. So if you take wine now, we are doing 22%.
Really,
organic
all sales?
Wines of all wines sold at Systembolaget are
so on the list. So 22. So one-fifth of
no,
all wines.
No, volume-wise.
Right. Okay.
So more than every fifth bottle is an organic bottle.
And how does that translate in terms of value or profit? Are they more profitable?
We don't think about profit in that way, but they are a little bit more premium than the average other categories.
And what about the demographics of people that buy those kind of wines? Is it mainly females? Is it men? Is it just anybody? Or just people pick up the label, though?
Anyone, but it's more the younger generation who thinks it's more important. It's ladies, less men thinking it's important. But you have to do a bit of nudging. So if you talk about men drinking beer, we introduced, together with our suppliers, we introduced quite a few organic beers. That from the beginning that it was like, oh, it's organic, it's bad. Yeah. But now it's there, and it's their old brand they bought before, and now it's suddenly organic, so they buy it anyway.
I think it's great that you're supporting that, and also the idea of certification. For me, that's such a big thing. People say, oh, why do you need to be certified? And you do. It's having a third party come and look over what you're doing and take tests and all the rest. I really, really believe in it. And it's not perfect, but it's the best system that we have.
It's the best system. And if you talk about natural wine also being a big trend, especially among sommeliers, etc. And I think that's a good idea with a natural wine, so natural that it can be, but it's also very difficult because what is a natural wine?
Yeah, that's one of the issues. It's not a lot of them are not necessarily certified.
No, they are none of them. They could be organic, of course.
Yeah, although some kind of are natural and they are certified.
Yeah, but you can't certify a wine natural.
Yeah, exactly. No, but they have got organic grapes, basically. But no, it is a bit of a minefield.
Yeah.
And I think they are trying to take steps to have some kind of third party, or some of the organisations, like in Italy, for example, are actually trying to tighten that up, because it is a bit of a wild west.
Yeah. And we're also trying to find ways of promoting other parts of sustainability, because organic maybe is not the best, because there are...
Well, in terms of energy use and packaging and...
Yeah, and how many times do you... What do you spray with, etc. So it's... if you spray with too much copper, like they have had to do this year,
it's difficult as well.
So we try to see and we discussed that with the Monopoly in Toronto, LCBO, if we can do something together. We'll see.
I know the LCBO in Canada, you just mentioned, they actually analyse every wine that comes in. Do you do that as well?
Yes, we do, but we don't analyse as much as they do.
They are pretty hardcore.
Yeah, they are hardcore, and they analyse. I think we do. We have our own laboratory as well, and we do very much the same analysis. But what they do and we don't for all the wines is analysing pesticides for the organics, and we only do that spot checking.
Yeah, I mean, what happens, this is quite an interesting segue, but Canada, for example, can find a pesticide in a vineyard that has been organic for 20 years, and that spray is no longer manufactured. It was banned, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, and still those residues pop up. So obviously the producer hasn't been spraying them, but it just shows how persistent these residues are, and it also shows how difficult it is really to know, when you say pesticide-free, or it's very hard to make those kind of claims.
Because you have a neighbour or whatever. Yeah. But what we've seen, when we started to do those pesticides analysis, there were much more residuals in both conventional and the organic wines, even though very, very low on the organic wines. But now it's better. So it's moving in the right direction.
Okay. So what is the future for the Monopoly, do you think? Where are the trends going? not for you. You looked at the other guys about your job, you know.
No, but that's interesting, because if we want to stay relevant for the consumers, and that's obviously very important if we want to, we need to be liked to stay in market, so to say. And 10 years ago, we had an opinion index, what we are following, saying that 66% of the Swedes want to go to Systembolaget instead of going to a grocery store shopping there.
Right, so you actually want to support the monopoly.
So today it's 77%. So it's increased by 10.
That's quite odd, the idea that you'd support a government organisation, because that's really what you want.
It's strange, but we really need to be good.
Yeah.
So if we weren't good, we wouldn't be supported.
Is that to do with your sort of social democratic kind of leanings? I mean, it's generally, obviously, maybe not in the last few years, but it's kind of...
I think that a lot of people, they think it's just of solidarity you do it, because it's, if I don't drink too much, there are others drinking too much, harming their kids when they come home and have too much for dinner.
Do you think the sort of national psyche is influenced by the fact that you are in an environmentally kind of slightly extreme area, and that you're very sensitive to changes in the environment and maybe what's coming in terms of global warming? And
I'm proud of being part of that psyche, but I'm actually, because we need to move. Yeah. The climate is a big issue and probably the most important issue we have to deal with.
Yep.
So you can do it yourself in your home, but you can also be part of a Systembolaget that wants to make a difference.
What is Sweden like in terms of equality, in terms of employment for women, men, you know, minorities? I don't know. Do they have quotas? It seems pretty relaxed, or is that not the case?
No. Well, what do you mean by relaxed? I think we are taking Systembolaget, we are more or less 50-50.
Okay.
From the board of directors down to the stores and the managers and everything.
Are you going to be on the board of directors one day?
No, I don't know.
Would you like to be?
Yeah, well, it's what I'm driven by, doing something of a purpose. So, of course, if Systembolaget is still there, I would be happy, like I'm today, being able to be part of changing something.
Now, I'm sure in your family, you know, if you have a family and you do, you know, when you go shopping, obviously it's not just you that does it. I'm sure your husband does 50% of the shopping and you do 50% of the shopping. But what are you like when you go into like a non-Systembolaget store and you have to buy something, like, I don't know, a tin of beans or a shirt? Or do you come in with your professional hat on or with your personal hat on? You have your budget.
I tend to be privileged in being able to buy, when I go into a grocery store, what I like. And I do organic in every category I can.
Really?
I do.
Okay, so big fan. Sarah Norell, thanks very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
It's been really fascinating getting a little window into the dusty corridors of the...
They are not dusty.
Okay, they're incredibly clean.
Monty, please come to
well-polished
show you
corridors of the Swedish alcohol monopoly. So we don't even need to shine a light. It's so internally bright. We don't even need to do that. Thanks very much for coming. It's been
a cracking
conversation.
Thank you so much.
This podcast has been brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey, discovering the true essence of high-quality wine from Europe. Find out more on nativegrapeodyssey.eu. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.